Behold, the dwelling of God is with humankind. God will dwell with them, and they shall be God's people. And God will be with them and be their God. Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Merry Christmas, Trinity Church! So if you paid it much attention, in 2018, when Apple acquired the creative and broadcast rights to the Charlie Brown franchise of holiday specials, those were the salad days, after all, when masks still referred primarily to costume wear and hybrid still to electric cars rather than classrooms. However, when Apple announced this year, as in 2020, that a subscription to their streaming service would be required to watch It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, they made it personal. I mean, as if Apple's hand wasn't already deep in our pockets and the pandemic wasn't bad enough. Come on, Tim Cook. That's no way to run a railroad monopoly. Responding to this righteously levied criticism, Apple hedged. And Sunday before last allowed PBS to air A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, the Coca-Cola Corporation originally greenlighted the Christmas project as an advertisement vehicle, and ABC first broadcast the special on December the 9th, 1965, as one Episcopal hook to the franchise. When celebrating that program's golden anniversary 6 years ago, the Metropolitan Museum of Art screened the film with the musical soundtrack provided by a live jazz trio and the choir from the Episcopal Church of the Heavenly Rest. A Charlie Brown Christmas runs less than 25 minutes, scarcely more than the time it will take Boston children to tear through their presents tomorrow morning. And yet, like the magic of Christmas Day, the story lingers longer in our memory, weighing more than its modest half hour. The Peanuts tale, at least as ubiquitous in the American consciousness as the second chapter of Luke's gospel, tells the story of Charlie Brown's search for the real meaning of Christmas. And my family and I, we watched the program again this year. My new favorite detail in the story is the hunter's cap that Charlie Brown wears when he and Linus go to buy the Christmas tree for the play. You'll remember that scene, of course, in the Christmas tree lot, when colorful metal trees surround the boys and a single pitiful natural tree, prompting that memorable dialogue, "Gee, do they still make wooden Christmas trees?" Linus wonders aloud. "This little green one here seems to need a home," Charlie Brown replies. "I don't know, Charlie Brown. Remember what Lucy said. This doesn't seem to fit the modern spirit," Linus warns. "I don't care. We'll decorate it, and it will be just right for our play," Charlie Brown optimistically promises before declaring, "Besides, I think it needs me." The young companions return to the stage where their friends await them, and Charlie Brown presents the tree that they purchased and sets it on top of Schroeder's piano. He then processes to stage left, takes off his red coat, revealing his trademark yellow and black striped polo. And the verbal stones begin to fly. "I told you he would goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on for anything," Violet complains. "You've been dumb before," a cruel Lucy screams, "but this time you really did it." Charlie Brown keeps his hunter's cap on his head through all this disparagement, a bittersweet symbol of his earnestness in this whole endeavor. I mean, the poor little guy schlepped himself out in the cold, through the snow, on behalf of his so-called friends, felt a twinge of tenderness toward an underdog sapling, And you know, he wore that itchy hat just like his mama told him to. And who among us cannot relate to sweet Charlie Brown in that terrible, terrible moment, having tried so genuinely to please, only to be ridiculed for his efforts? When all his classmates, even his dog, laugh at his tree and abandon him, a deflated Charlie Brown confides in his one remaining compatriot, "I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't know what Christmas is all about." And then finally, Charlie Brown cries out to his peers and to us at home, "Is there anybody who knows what Christmas is all about?" Tonight's gospel begins with Joseph returning to his family's hometown. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Joseph also went to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child." In the Nativity story, God welcomes Mary and Joseph as the Holy Family and charges the young couple to become homemakers for their God. Though they have no home, not even a room above the local bar, the couple consents to God's love, and they make a home where they are with what they have. Mary and Joseph did not choose the manger chose them. And so they did what could be done for a crib. They wrapped their newborn son in what swaddling they had. They warmed him. They stayed near to one another, and they gave thanks to God. And as God chose to make a home with them, they choose to make a home for God. Our program year theme, A Home for Faith, has voiced that same aspiration for us at Trinity Church this fall and early winter. And together, we have sought to make a home for our God, where we are with what we have. Tonight, we trade familiar pews for desk chairs. And tomorrow, many of us will exchange our extended family's holiday table for a far more modest assembly at the kitchen counter. Yet as God made a home for the Holy Family, God has and is and will make a home with us too. In the Peanuts program's closing scene, Linus responds to his friend's exasperation with the simple reassurance, "Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." Mm-hmm. And cueing the lights, Linus steps to center stage, lays down his blue blanket, removes his thumb from his mouth, and recites, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill." Upon completing his recitation of the Christmas gospel, Linus gathers up his blue blanket and returns to his friend, saying simply, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown," before returning his thumb to its familiar seat between his lips. As legend and New York Magazine tell it, executives at ABC and Coca-Cola balked at this scene in Schultz's original script, decrying Linus's soliloquy as too overtly Christian. The company men approached the cartoonist and asked him to rewrite the scene, suggesting, "Can't you tell the story in a different way?" To which Schultz forcefully and quickly replied, "No, I will not change the scene. There is no other way to tell the story. This is the story." Linus and Mr. Schultz are correct, of course. This is the story. And hearing this story as children and telling this story as we grow older, the nativity narrative becomes our family story. Romancing this tale stirs our Christmas Eve magic, calls the majesty of our Christmas worship wherever we are, whenever we are, with whomever we might be, even in this beat-up, blockheaded 2020. Whenever we hear and retell the story of the Nativity, we turn ourselves toward what truly matters: the God whose promises we too easily forget, the God whose love we too often underestimate, the special people by whom Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit bless us every day of our lives, whether across a table or through a computer screen. Well-intended Charlie Brown makes the Christmas story his own. And with his herald Linus in a renewed spirit, he gathers up his pitiful tree and bounds toward home, his friends following. Tonight, we too can consent to God's love again. Gather up our complicated lives in this scraggly pandemic year and bound toward tomorrow morning with these old prayers on our hearts, with these fond songs on our lips, and make this tale ours. And then come Saturday, choose the Christmas story again. And then on Sunday, again, and then again, and again, as often as God chooses us, that we would choose God, this Holy One, born to us this day. Friends, that we would share a very Merry Christmas. I pray in the name of the newborn King. Amen.